profile.
Five, 24, left. It's time to go under the Friday night lights with a look at the big game of the week.
We go to 3A right down the street at Memorial Stadium in Seattle. Number 4, Ferndale. Number 1, O'Day. These, of course, the rankings of the finalscore.tv, because that's the only ones that matter.
Absolutely.
Here. Number 1 versus number 4. So I guess this could be a semifinal game. Forget round of 16. We got number 1 and number 4. What happened tonight between O'Day and Ferndale?
Exciting game. O'Day, kind of their one weakness, I would say, this year has been sluggish starts, and that trend continued tonight. Ferndale, they were able to jump out to a quick lead. Some real sleight of hand in the backfield with the quarterback handing off to his running backs. Ben Brussell was able to rip off a 60-yard run early in the first quarter there, and it kind of got that whole Ferndale Eagles sideline fired up. The defense started to get kind of feeding off that as well, and they were able to contain a lot of O'Day's playmakers, really sealed the edge, weren't giving them a whole lot of space to run the football. The Eagles got possession back. They were facing a 4th and long in the O'Day 40, and they brought the offense back out on the field after kind of talking things over, and you scratch your head thinking, are they going to do a little pooch kick or something? Or are they going to, what are they kind of thinking here? They ended up going for it, and they handed it off to Brussell again. It was kind of a read option type thing, and he dashed right up the gut. 14-0 Ferndale real early on, so really caught the Irish off guard early in this contest. They had a chance to put themselves up 3 scores, which I think would have been a real backbreaker, but unfortunately they fumbled it, and O'Day was able to take advantage. They were finally to impose their will to get into the end zone. Warren King, their quarterback, who was kind of a quarterback by default this year. He wasn't the starter, but through injury and stuff like that, he kind of took over. He won that game against Eastside Catholic a couple weeks ago, and they've just kind of been giving him the ball. He imposed his will on a couple big chain-moving plays, just running right up the gut with that long 6'4" frame, just stretching out, moving the chains. And then they were able to get into scoring position, capped it off with a jump pass to Sam Sanchez, who was just wide open in the end zone, and put them on the board 14-7. And for how dominant it felt like, it was like, okay, they're only 1 score down. This is anyone's game at this point. With the clock ticking, there was only 8 seconds left. The Golden Eagles had to punt it. And Shea Carstens, who's a real glue, gritty player for O'Day, just is all over the field. Isn't the biggest guy, but he makes plays. He returned the punt 77 yards to the end zone to tie things up. But hold on. There was a flag way back at the 30-yard line. Personal foul. Negates the play.
Oh.
So they have to do one untimed down, which didn't surmount anything. But as you can imagine, Monty Kohler was not too happy going to the locker room for a play that was really not specified what happened. And it wasn't an obvious thing to the naked eye.
Oh, so he was upset at the officials, not necessarily at the kid.
Okay. Not at the kid, because it was an amazing return by Carstens. I mean, he avoided tons of tacklers.
Should have been tied at halftime.
And this was just total deja vu, because when they beat Eastside Catholic, I think there was a tough call to end the first half, and they came back out of the locker room all fired up. So it would be interesting to see how they would respond to that. And as I expected, they were pretty fired up. Jamin Patu, their running back, finally got some daylight coming out of the backfield early in the third quarter, took the rock 70 yards right up the sideline to the house to tie things up. And the big O'Day faithful on the sidelines was real loud and getting the team fired up.
Did you get the feeling at that point that Ferndale was in trouble?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. After that 70-yard touchdown, just because of how easy it looked.
Okay.
You know, it was a total flip of the switch, you know, from the first half to second half. The first half, they had to earn every single yard. Ferndale was all over the ball. This time, it was like there was blocks. You could see that O'Day was kind of more in their game. They kind of had control of how it was going on. Moments later, Kyle Hollibaugh, he returned a fumble out of the backfield for a touchdown, put it 21-14. And coincidentally, right at that moment when he crossed the end zone, the rain started coming down a little bit. And it just felt like the O'Day,
that was it.
That was all. Patu got another touchdown. Then Warren King found Quentin Lewis in the end zone, and it was just a runaway at that point. Ferndale was able to finally get a second half touchdown, but the that was all she wrote. At 42-21 was the final score in this one.
So 42-7 after what, the first 7 or 8 minutes of the game?
After the first quarter is 14-0 Ferndale.
Yeah, so the last three quarters.
Yeah.
42-7.
Right.
O'Day. And O'Day looking, you know, what was the major difference? Why were they getting dominated so much?
I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like they were, when I talked to Patu after the game, he had said that they were a little bit kind of cocky, for better lack of a better word, going into the game. You know, they thought, hey, we're undefeated, we're kind of the favorites. They kind of let their confidence get to their heads a little bit, and they maybe didn't think they had to, you know, come out and play hard right off the bat. But once they got down, they're like, well, we got to win tonight or else our season's over. And they finally turned it around.
Even though Ferndale has got a wonderful history of high school football in the state, I bet you half the kids on O'Day team probably couldn't point to Ferndale on a map. So they're probably like,
yeah,
hey, Ferndale, what's that? You know, and even if they did know what league they were playing, and they probably were saying, yeah, they play 2A schools usually in their regular season games. They're not used to playing top-ranked 3A schools. So, congratulations to Ferndale on a great season. But O'Day moves on with a 42-21 win. Any big-time performers or performances of note in that game?
I would definitely say Jamin Patu with that 70-yard score, and then he had another one later in the game. Big one for him. You know, and just kind of the takeaway from this was, it just seems like O'Day and Eastside are kind of on a crash course to the T-Dome. I would say 3A more than any other bracket kind of has the most top-heavy of the all six classifications. It seems like there's quite a bit of depth in a lot of them, but I see those two teams standing out more than any of the other classifications for sure.
It'd be a fun game. It'd be a fun rematch between Eastside Catholic and O'Day, two metro schools going at it. If they can all make it, those two schools can make it the next couple weeks to the Tacoma Dome, which would be a December 2nd championship game at 7:30, which I'm sure we'll have right here on 950 KJR. Who knows? I might even be doing the game on 950 KJR. I haven't been asked.
You're probably on the short list.
I don't know, but we'll see. I don't know how it can top the Bellevue Eastside Catholic game last year, but we'll see. We certainly hope so.